duration of life or fruitive activities. Manamsi, mental absorbers. Cha, also. Drisha, by glance. Saha, power. Ojaha, strength. Archat, withdrew. Translation and purport by His Divine Guru Srila Prabhupada. It was He only who withdrew the duration of life from everyone, and who, in the battlefield, withdrew the speculative power and strength of enthusiasm from the great military phalanx made by the Kauravas, headed by Bhishma, Karna, Drona, Shalya, etc. Their arrangement was export and more than adequate, but He, Lord Sri Krishna, while going forward, did all this. Purport. The Absolute Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, expands Himself by His plenary Paramatma portion in everyone's heart, and thus He directs everyone in the matter of recollection, forgetfulness, knowledge, the absence of intelligence, and all psychological activities. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. As the Supreme Lord, He can increase or decrease the duration of life of a living being. Thus the Lord conducted the battle of Kurukshetra according to His own plan. He wanted that battle to establish Yudhishthira as the emperor of this planet. And to facilitate this transcendental business, He killed all who were on the opposite party by His omnipotent will. The other party was equipped with all military strength, supported by big generals like Bhishma, Drona, and Shalya. And it would have been physically impossible for Arjuna to win the battle had the Lord not helped him by every kind of tactic. Such tactics are generally followed by every statesman, even in modern warfare, but they are all done materially by powerful espionages, military tactics, and diplomatic maneuvers. But because Arjuna was the Lord's affectionate devotee, the Lord did all this Himself without personal anxiety by Arjuna. That is the way of the devotional service to the Lord. Om Agyana Tirmanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshul Mutanyena Tasmai Shri Gurudevam Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadari Swaparantika Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Adaita Gadada, Shri Vasudev, Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you guys for being here early. At least we have a few devotees. I guess most people have gone to Gainesville. Is this okay? I mean, the mic is all right. So, within the text, there's three fundamental points that have been made here. And that is, the Lord takes away the lifespan of all the, or He shortened the lifespan of all the warriors that were in the battlefield. He diminished the great powers and strength of the Kauravas. That was the second point. And then He baffled their arrangements and formations. And then, of course, Srila Prabhupada elaborate on these points in the purport. So we'll discuss the lifespan of the warriors. Generally our lifespan is decided by our karma. Every being within this material world, There is different way of seeing the lifespan. Like, for example, within each yuga, there's a certain lifespan, like 100,000 years, 10,000, 1,000, and 100 years. But even though that's like the average span, one's lifespan is not decided by the yoga itself, but by one's karma. You see? And that's why we find that someone dies 2 years, 5 years, 20 years, 50 years, or 100 years. Because this is all decided by karma. Because sometimes one would wonder, well, why is it if the yoga lifespan is 100 years, why people only live for such a short time? And the only and best answer is karma. Karma decides our age span. But of course there's a few other factors. Like, for example, a pure devotee, his lifespan is not decided by karma. But whatever has been arranged for him, like if he comes to preach here, you know, and he has to spend 100 years or 50 years, whatever, that's decided not by karma, but by high authorities. And then also one can cut short one's lifespan too. One has the choice through suicide. I guess so. I mean, that might also be within one's karmic arrangement. But of course, also I've read that one can shorten his lifespan through that. But the Lord, who made all the laws, who gave all the laws, he can break the laws also. And so he could break all the karmic laws for those warriors. And we find that all of the warriors, that was at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, which means that their lifespan, the lifespan in Dwarpa Yuga was different, but maybe at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, it would have not been 1,000 years, but closer to 100 years. Because as the age wanes, so our lifespan also wanes with the age. And so the warriors, let us say they were to live 150 years, it was shortened to whatever time they were, whatever age they were in that battlefield. So this is how the Lord shortened the lifespan of all the warriors in that battlefield. But of course, he benedicted them. For all the warriors that were there, some of them were able to go to the heavenly planet, some were able to go back to their own abode, wherever they came from. Some are able to go back to the transcendental world. See, because even though all the warriors were there, they could not detect that the Lord, that Krishna was the Supreme Lord. Most of them did not know that, really. Just a few warriors knew that Lord Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's with lifespan. The second point was, he diminished the powers and strength of the warriors, especially of the opposite party. And we know that Duryodhana's trump card were Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and Kripa, especially those four. Because all of them had divine weapons, all of them were invincible, they were Maharati. And so this was Duryodhana's trump card, and he felt that he had, these were his ace cards, so to speak, and he had these, no one could have defeated these guys. So that's why he was bent on fighting on this war, you see, because he was banking on these four. And then we've seen In the midst of the fighting, how Lord Krishna weakened all of the warriors there. He weakened all of the warriors so severely that they were unable to even harm Arjuna. I mean, they were able to kill some of the Pandava warriors, especially Bhishma. He was taken down like, I don't know, 10,000 a day or 100,000 a day. So I couldn't remember, but he was super powerful. Bhishma had so many divine weapons. Because he was taught by the demigods, he was taught by the great Parashurama, he was taught by many great personalities. So Bhishmadev was supremely powerful. He was practically invincible. And added to that, because he was the Grand Sire, Arjuna fought with him half-heartedly. So Lord Krishna knew this. And so Lord Krishna, the well-wisher of his devotee, had to intervene and had to help the Pandavas. Otherwise they would have been defeated easily by the Kauravas. So Bhishma, so Srila Prabhupada explained within the purport that Lord Krishna was using tactics. See? And so what they would generally do, a lot of times when Bhishma seems invincible, they would push Sikandi in front of him. And as soon as Sikandi goes there, Bhishma would turn away or not fight. You see? So this is a war tactic. You see? Strategic principle. You see? So Bhishma was weakened in so many ways. And actually that was how his death was accomplished. Because when Yudhishthir asked him at the beginning, I mean, and Yudhishthir was bold enough to do that. When just before the battle, Yudhishthir went to him and said, I am sorry to do battle with you, but please give me your blessing. And then Bhishma said, had you not come, I would have cursed you to lose this battle. And then Yudhishthir said, my dear grandfather, I know this is a difficult question, but how can I accomplish your defeat? And Bhishma said, I'm incapable of being defeated, but when that time comes, I would let you know. Then he went the same thing, he went to Dronacharya, and he said the same thing. Dronacharya said that I am incapable of being defeated, but when the time come, I would let you know. When he went to Kripacharya, I am incapable of being defeated, but I would pray for your victory every day. I mean, these are heartfelt emotions there, you know, with these great warriors. Kripacharya said, I am incapable of being defeated, but I would pray for your victory every day. Just imagine that. And then, of course, he went to Salya. Salya was his uncle, and unfortunately, Salya went on the other side, being tricked by Duryodhana. But then Salya said, I would weaken the Sukta son for you. Because the only person that Yudhishthir didn't want to approach was Karna. And Karna was the one that could have really created havoc in the Pandava army, because he did not have the compassion and the love for the Pandavas like the other warriors. See? So of course Lord Krishna would dealt with that. So Lord Krishna, he dealt with Bhishma by placing Sikanda there, and then with Dronacharya, Drishtadyumna was born to kill Dronacharya. So they would also put Drishtadyumna in front of Drona. So that would weaken him also. And then with Kalya, with Karna, what Lord Krishna was doing, Lord Krishna was bewildering Karna. He was making Karna forget to use his Indrayana astral. There was the Shakti weapon, the powerful weapon given to him by Indra. When his armor was taken by Indra, because Indra wanted to help Arjuna, he asked for Indra's Shakti weapon, and that weapon was invincible. So Lord Krishna was bewildering Karna all the time not to use it. And Karna, the whole battle went through there, and Karna forgot to use it. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sanvishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. I'm the knower and compiler of the Vedas. So Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada also explained this verse within the purport, that Lord Krishna was bewildering the warriors. See, and especially in the case of Karna. He was, even though he had this powerful weapon and he could have used it earlier, but he was somehow was bewildered by the Lord throughout. And then sometimes Ghatakacha would create so much havoc that he was constantly finding himself fighting with Ghatakacha or Satyaki or some one of the other great warriors. And they were engaging him. So there was little time for him to engage with Arjuna. It's not that Arjuna cannot fight with him. Arjuna could have fought him really, but he had promised is either Arjuna be killed or he himself. And so there was no mercy shown to Arjuna. So we've seen that the Lord was doing this, and with all the warriors also, Lord Krishna was bewildered. Lord Krishna was like the writer of the Mahabharata script, the producer, the director, the producer, and the actor also. He was all there, you know. He was the writer, he was the director, he was producer, and he was actor. And the Mahabharata was going to his direction, to his will. See? And so this is how he diminished the powers. Even with Duryodhana, we know when Duryodhana was fighting with Bhima, he showed Bhima to hit him, or he reminded Bhima to hit him on the target. You see? So Lord Krishna was directing this war, 100%. So the other point that was made here was that Lord Krishna baffled their arrangement and formation. The Kauravas had some powerful arrangement because Bhishma was the commander in chief. And Bhishma had very great arrangements. Like it stated in that Mahabharata war, there were some very, very powerful arrangements. One was the Chakravyuha. The Chakravyuha arrangement. And that was like that was not like a circle but a disc. Circular formation. See, and that was very powerful. In fact, it was in the Chakravyuha that Abhimanyu was killed, because that arrangement is so complex and complicated that only very advanced warriors could have able to penetrate that. And Arjuna was fighting way somewhere else, and Yudhisthira was concerned about what was taking place with Arjuna. So Yudhisthira had wanted to pierce his formation, but he was unable to do it. And the only person could have done that was Abhimanyu. And so he asked Abhimanyu to if it's possible for him to pierce that formation. And Abhimanyu, he said, yes, I can, but the only thing, I don't know how to get out. And Yudhisthira said, look, we will follow you closely behind. So don't be afraid of that. And so as Abhimanyu went in, Jayadrath with his thousands of elephants closed the formation so quickly that the panda was unable to penetrate that way. See? He was unable to penetrate, and so we know that how Abhimanyu would died in that. So these are the complex formations. There are some other formations. They had the chakra shakata, which was the formation like a cartwheel. See the cartwheel with the spokes and everything, so the army would actually be arranged like that. Then you had the mandala formation, which was circular, vajra, shape of a thunderbolt, but I don't know what a thunderbolt looked like. Then you had the Garuda. The formation was formed like a board, cruncher, like a board with a sharp beak. Ardha Chandraka, crescent shape, like the moon. Padma, like a blooming lotus. Makara, like a crocodile. Urmi, like the ocean waves. Sarvatobhadra, like an arrangement like in a square. Sachimukha, a needle-shaped formation. And then there's a Deva, the Deva and the Asura. So all these formations were well known by Bhishma. And so when the Kaurava placed one formation, the Pandavas would put another formation. And of course Lord Krishna was directing them. And directing them how to baffle these formations, because some of them were impossible to pierce. But the Lord, because he was directing everything, he was directing the Pandavas how to break these formations. So this is what was going on. And then Srila Prabhupada says that these tactics were used by the by Lord Krishna to vanquish the Kauravas. And these tactics are being used in modern warfare also. Yeah, and of course we heard about laser directed missile in modern warfare. I guess I'm touching in these points because Srila Prabhupada mentioned, he was saying just like in modern warfare, they have so many tactics. You see, laser-directed missile, like if there's a target, say in Iraq or Iran or somewhere, the aircraft would locate the target, send the laser, and then it stated that the laser would mark that spot through radiation, and then they would send a missile following that point of laser and hit the target. And so that would diminish the destruction of so much other properties and people and so forth. You see, so this is a modern strategy. Also they would use like spies. For example, even with this Bin Laden, I mean, like when he was the world's greatest terrorist. But where he was hiding next to Pakistan military camp. So definitely Pakistan had to know about this, but they pretend that they didn't know. But they were using that as a help for where these terrorists can help them also. And they're attacking other countries and so forth. And you guys know of it really, like, you know, they had so much hostility with India, you know. So by harboring Bin Laden had men all over the world and so forth. So these guys would also help Pakistan in his vindictiveness towards other countries. So these are like modern warfare tactics that's been used in combat, just like what's been done in the Mahabharata. And Srila Prabhupada said what Lord Krishna was doing is nothing new. You see? It's nothing new. That it's there are tactics of war and it's been used. Another point was made is that the Lord wanted Maharaj Yudhishthir to be the king of the earth. And so as we know that Yudhishthir is endowed with all great principles. He was called Rajarshi, see, saintly king, saintly personality. Well, he was not king then, but he was a saintly person, and he was most qualified to rule the earth, because he would rule it through the eyes of the Shastra, dharmic principles. And he was always following Dharma. He never deviated from Dharma for a moment. See, Yudhishthir never deviated from Dharma for a moment. And so, Lord Krishna considered him the most qualified personality to rule the earth. And Lord Krishna was doing whatever it takes to put Maharaj Yudhishthir in power. Whatever it takes. And even this whole, because Duryodhan was so wicked and stubborn, then he and all his brothers and his whole army had to be vanquished just to put Yudhishthir on the throne, because he would be the ideal ruler of the world. And Bhagavatam explained that during the time of Maharaj Yudhishthir, the earth produced in profusion. The cows with their baggy milk bags, the cow with their milk bags filled with milk would water the earth, would nourish the earth. See? So, and all the citizens were happy and content. So glorious was Maharaj Yudhishthir, such a great ruler. And so Lord Krishna wanted him to be in power. And so after the Mahabharata war, it would take so much care and administration to get things back together. And only a person like Yudhishthir would have able to done or to do this. So he was finally enthroned in power. Then another point was made here that the Lord did all of this to put his devotees out of anxiety. See? The Lord did this to put his devotees out of anxiety. See, because this is the result of devotional service, that the Lord, he protects his devotees. Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivam prakritim asrita. The great souls knows me as the supreme, original and inexhaustible. But the avajanti mam mudha manushim tanum asritam. The fools deride me when I descend in human form. See? So just like Duryodhan, I mean, he saw Krishna, he spoke to Krishna, Krishna advised him in so many ways. But yet he would not take his advice. In fact, he was planning to kidnap Krishna one time. He was planning to kidnap Krishna. And so he was warned by the different personalities not to try that. And he was coerced in different ways and so forth. But for the great personalities, then the Lord protects his devotees. Parchanaya sarunam vinashaya shah duskritam samstapanataya sambhavanamunayam. So all this was done because the Lord wants to protect his devotees, and especially Arjuna. So the Lord personally was driving Arjuna's chariot, directing him and directing the battle so that so that the Pandavas would become victorious. So, let's see if I've touched upon all the important points that Srila Prabhupada made here. Yes, and then of course we know that the Lord also instructed Arjuna at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, so many instructions for the world to hear. And then he concluded that Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshu abhidhasyati. One who explains the supreme secret to the devotee, pure devotional service is guaranteed. So this is our position, to explain this supreme secret to the world, and our devotional service would be guaranteed. Before I stop, I'd like to read an answer I gave online on the internet. And this was, did gods really live among humans in the past? Did gods really live among humans in the past? And I answer like this. During the past three ages, the demigods would attend human yagyas, bathe in the sacred rivers and lakes. As this sinful Kali Yuga emerges and some low-class people started to kill the cows, the demigods disappeared entirely. A few may attend a yagya incognito or in their subtle body. Incarnations of Lord Krishna did live among the people in the past ages, and Lord Krishna himself walked with the people 5,000 years ago. These incarnations were Vamana, Parshuram, Rama, Balaram, and Buddha and Jesus in Kali Yuga. So I touched upon that. I mean, it's not directly related, but it has some connection. Because people, they're wondering if the gods or the demigods were actually an art. See, I got a lot of views for that. So I'll stop here if there's any question or correction or whatever. Anyone has any? Sri Devi?
Thank you. I was thinking, what do you think about ways that people can shorten or lengthen their lifespan, or Krishna shortens them? People who commit like a lot of sinful activities, while in this lifetime, they die early because of that.
Well, if they commit a lot of sinful activities, possibly could lead to suicide, which would force them to die earlier than their karmic arrangement. But really, once they've been destined to die a certain time, I think they have to go with that destiny. But of course, I know Bhishma was saying certain things. When he was preaching to Yudhishthira, he said, if you do these things, it would shorten your lifespan. I remember that. He was saying, like, urine in water, going with other men's wife, so many different things. He said, these would shorten your lifespan. So it seems that that has some effect also.
It's really interesting, all those senators that conspired and they killed Julius Caesar. They all conspired to kill him. I don't know if you know the story or not. And then all stabbed, like 32 senators like stabbed him while they were having like a Senate meeting, so that's how he died. And then all those senators that like conspired against him and that killed him, they all died like within a few years.
Yeah.
You know, all of them, like that's really too much to be just like random.
So definitely there is some connection. And also, of course, you commit a sinful act like killing somebody, they kill you immediately, which means that is a way of shortening life. You could also increase your lifespan through yoga, like breathing, because everyone comes in this world with certain amount of breaths. Let us say you're given 2 billion breaths, right? But you could lengthen those breaths through your breathing. Like if you're breathing, like when you're breathing, you hold your breath up. So that means you're increasing your lifespan. Like a yogi, I mean, every time he holds his breath, then he's increasing your life. So that's a way to increase your lifespan also. Yeah? Any other point?
I'm saying in 7th chapter, Krishna says, Punna Gandha Pitibacha Tejasmita Tapasya Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu. So, Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu means ultimately Krishna controls. We should give him the credit. And in the Parbhu Prabhupada, right, he can increase, he can decrease.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Certainly. Krishna could.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You mentioned very nicely Kripacharya's blessing the Pandavas. And we know Bhishma Dev every day blessed before the war began. Just curious, because I'm a human also, how do you try to kill the enemy when you are blessing them to win the victory? I mean, just psychologically, I'm trying to put. Maybe I'll never understand.
It's
want the enemy to win the victory.
At the same time, I'm trying to kill them. It's a great question, and this is it has to do with dharma, because they were bound to the Kaurava kingdom because they have eaten the salt of the Kauravas. Then they were bound to their army, to the kingdom. Even though they knew that what they were doing were wrong, they were looking at the dharmic side of it. Even Bhishma also, you know, his vow was to protect the Kaurava, protect the Kuru dynasty. That was his vow, really. So even to that, he stuck to that, really. But he knew the Pandavas were on the righteous path. And also a warrior fights because his duty to fight. Kripacharya, Dronacharya, they all took up, in times of hardship, they took up the duty of a Kshatriya, which is dharmic also, which is allowed in the Varnashram system. And so, you could say they're warriors, and so their dharma is to fight. And even though they were fighting with the righteous side, but they're fighting as their duty. You know, they're fighting as their duty to do this. I know it's difficult to assimilate, really, because we. You know, these principles are a little above our head. I mean, I know what Yudhishthira said, whoever wants to come, join us, come. And Yuyutsu raises his hand and said, I would come. You see, Yuyutsu, because Yuyutsu was so much honest and so much love the Pandavas that he couldn't bear to fight against them. Actually stated that Yuyutsu was also spying for the Pandavas. He was in Duryodhana's side, but all the secrets and so he would divulge to the Pandavas when he hear him and Vidura.
Are you saying they are faking?
Pardon me?
Are they faking? You know, fake fight?
Oh, you mean Kripacharya and the other guys?
Yeah,
Well, as a fighter, for example, let us say, like, you know, I'm a fighter, right? And
I know that they will win.
Yeah.
So how do you try to kill them? What can you do?
Well, I would say also that Kripacharya and Dronacharya and all of them, apart from knowing that they would kill the opposite army, of course they know that they're not the bodies and so forth. They know that they're souls, and they would go back, you know, wherever, to Swarga or the spiritual world, like this. So they're just doing their duty as a chatri, as a fighter. That's how I see it. Yes, Mataji?
Just to Prangovinda Prabhu's question, seeing it an opposite angle, I was thinking that, for example, a doctor, he may have to be in a situation where he has to treat an enemy. And so, and I think that probably happens in wars, yeah? And so in that situation, when a doctor is treating an enemy, he certainly wants the enemy to die. But, like you're rightly pointing out, Trivikram Prabhu, the dharma, his duty as a doctor, he tries his best to actually cure the patient. He doesn't not do his duty, because out of his duty, he's going to do his best. And yet in his heart, he wants the enemy to die. Here, although it's in the opposite kind of situation, they're going to do the best. Their dharma is to kill. So they're going to do their best to kill the opponent, but in their heart, they're giving the blessing to live. So you can kind of understand with that example, even nowadays, that you could have both those things. So it's not a fake. The doctor is not in a fake way trying to, you know, use his tools. No, he's putting all his best in trying to save, and yet he wants the person to die. So
yeah,
both can be there simultaneously.
This
you can kind of see that.
This is a dilemma in morality and a dilemma in dharma also, because these great personalities, they gave the word. They gave the word to Bhishma, I guess, to stick on the side of the Kauravas, even though they knew that they were all rascals and everything, you know. But yet their heart were on the side of the other side, for Yudhishthira and Arjuna and so forth. Yeah, you could say it's a dilemma in morality, dilemma in dharma. You know.